This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yo. What's going on, man?
What's up, man?
Not much. Had an interesting morning at Walmart.
What happened?
I went to pick up some little things here and there, and then I went to Burger King, because they just built a Burger King in there. I'm like, I may as well get something to eat while I'm out. But there was only one dude in the whole store working. So my man took the order, went back, cooked the order. Came back and was like, hey, man, it's going to be like 10 minutes on fries. I'm like, how is it 10 minutes? How's it 10 minutes on fries? You know what I mean? Like, I ain't ask, like, hostile. I was just like, 10 minutes on fries. And he was like, I guess he had been, his people didn't come in yet. And they were supposed to be there. And he was like, man, I'm doing the best I could do.
Oh, man.
And I was like, and like, I just started laughing, right? Which ain't the best reaction to it. And he was like, it was so funny, man. I'm like, man, I work at Zach's. We got killed yesterday. Like, you think Labor Day would be a slow day.
Mm-hmm.
We got killed because we were understaffed and everybody showed up. Like, because I guess people was doing back to school shopping last minute. And so I was like, I understand, man. I feel your pain. And you're like, man, people don't understand, man. It's real. And I'm like, yeah, I understand, man. But, Let's get a move on the fries. I empathize with your situation, but by the same token, nigga, I'm hungry. I got to go. So, but yeah, it was funny. I'm glad it was me and not somebody else, because like that could have been a bad situation.
Yeah.
Like, that nigga could have lost his job because he was You could tell he. I don't know what he went through when they opened up this morning, but he was at the end of his rope.
It's not even 12 o'clock yet.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, because I guess they open up at Walmart's 24 hours, but I think the Burger King opens up at like 8.
Oh, okay.
So he had been there for like 3 hours by himself. I'm like, yeah, that's not good. But yeah, just he's like, man, I'm doing the best I can. They had the voice crack and everything. I was like, wow. I don't want to laugh, but like I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with
laughing
you,
with
brother.
You, uh-huh.
I'm not laughing. Now you will later.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your host, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. Recruiting suckers, Mac and Mike and making men of them. Tears and fears.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the podcast that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest running weekly episodic show hosted by two or more African Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather Nate Milton, joined by my partner in crime, Marcus Vandenberg. What is going on, brother Marcus? How was your Labor Day?
What's up, Nate? It was low-key. I had to work. So whatever my coworker south to work over there, so he cooked up some food at least, so we weren't totally having a crappy Labor Day, but it was good.
I thought you meant low-key as in like you dressed up in a suit and spoke in a deep voice.
Hello, my name is Low-Key.
No, there's none of that going on.
These burgers are not grilled for a warrior. Like this. Three people out there, max, laughing at that. Everybody else is like, what in the hell are they talking about?
Just YouTube, low-key, and something should come up.
Well, plenty of things will come up.
Yeah. You'll know what it is when you find it.
Yes. My Labor Day was okay. I got stuck at work, and we got slammed, so I didn't get to hang out and enjoy the festivities of the day. But it was okay. I'm off today, so that makes up for it.
Oh, that's good.
Like, there's something about being off the day after a holiday when everybody else is going back to work or school and you're off. It's like when I used to work at night and I would sleep during the day and be up in all night,
mm-hmm.
which is not much different from now. And it's just like there's something different about being asleep when you're supposed to, quote unquote, be awake.
Yeah, I guess I work nights, but I'm usually up at a decent time, so I don't get that same experience.
It's like being Batman without the pay.
Black man.
that'd be an interesting take on the character if Batman was black.
He's already had a bad outfit. I mean, a black outfit. I mean, just color his face in.
Like, I know people are scared of Batman in general in the comics, but if he was black,
could they see him? I guess they would need the light for sure to spot him.
You thought the police hated Batman before?
Yeah.
Stop, vigilante! Hey, man, I'm trying to help out. I'm gonna need to see some ID. Why are the police always pulling over the Batmobile? That black man can't have a nice car in his neighborhood.
Oh, you know that car would get stopped on the street. Anyone else?
Like, why does the Batmobile have rims? This is not good. This is not good. But yeah, it's another week, another episode of the Kings of Sport. And I guess we should probably start off in the A block where everyone else, including the WWE, seems to be starting off when it comes to conversation, and that is with Michael Sam, formerly of the St. Louis Rams. And for those that haven't heard the news, why don't you get them up to speed, Marcus?
Yeah, so over the weekend, it was cut down day for the NFL, where teams got down to 53 players, and Michael Sam was cut on Saturday afternoon by the St. Louis Rams, and then Sunday morning he found out he wasn't going to be part of the practice squad as well. So currently he's a free agent. He passed the waivers. No teams claimed him off waivers. And as you mentioned, the WWE sent out an open invitation on Monday Night Raw, inviting him to Raw next week from Baltimore to, I guess, share his side of the story. I mean, I know what side there is. He got cut. That's the story. That's it.
Right.
So I'd like to invite Michael Sam to join the Kings of Sport next week. To share your side of the story on the podcast, come on. You can vent about Coach Fisher and how he treated you, or what Sam Bradford's really like. What else is going on in St. Louis? Ferguson, you can talk Ferguson. So that's your invite, Michael Sam, to join Kings of Sport NetSuite.
Yeah, now we just need like a big graphic with Michael Sam and some NFL music, which I don't know how they had the rights to underneath it.
Oh, that song's pretty accessible. That's not like an exclusive song. You can get the rights for that.
But what do you think about that? Because I think it'd be a very bad move for him to do that. Like, if you're about the business of being a professional football player, that's not going to help NFL teams that may or may not view you as a distraction fairly or unfairly.
Yeah, there's no way he shows up. And unfortunately, I think this will lead to a Damian Sandow
Michael Sandow.
Michael Sandow appearance. but as Darren Young pointed out on Twitter, who is the first, I guess, openly gay WWE wrestler, he was retweeting people who were basically saying, why are they extending invitation to Michael Sam when they have Darren Young, who they never gave the opportunity to speak about his sexuality? So
true.
By the way, have you seen a picture of Darren Young recently?
No.
He's huge. In a good way. He's been working out. Look up his Twitter, or let me see if I can find it for you. But yeah, he's ginormous. And I know he's recovering from ACL injury. And hopefully he gets back in the ring soon, because I'm still curious to see what they can do with his character in the ring.
Yeah, it would be it is funny. Like, you know, we want to take advantage or I don't know if that's the right word, but considering the company, it probably is.
Exploit. That's the good word.
we want to exploit this current news story. And, oh, wow. I'm looking at his Twitter now. Yeah, dude is Diesel.
Yeah, he's like Titus O'Neil level swole. It's crazy.
He is like, well, if being gay didn't get me booked, maybe getting huge will.
Yeah, this is the Vincent Man way. Muscles.
Yeah, but with Michael Sam, it's like they have such a propensity of always wanting to go after the hot news story without understanding the context of the story. And with Michael Sam, it's like it's unfortunate that he didn't make the Rams, but I think that he's skilled enough that some team is going to give him a look if he plays the game, and not the game of football, but plays kind of the PR game of, you know, keeping your head down, being quiet, being unassuming, just going about the business of working to get towards a team, and doing something like showing up on Raw would be the opposite of what would help him get back with an NFL team.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of messed up that they even made that invitation, because that's going to be used against them. People are going to assume, who don't watch wrestling, that Michael Sam is somehow associated with WWE. Even if he doesn't show up next week, just this whole week, People are going to assume that, oh, okay, he has reached out to the company and he wants to go on TV. And that part, you know, they come off, the announcers come off, or JBL came off as trying to say, oh, we want you to, you know, tell your side of the story, and you did so well, blah, blah, blah. You're really hurting the guy as a result of doing this publicity stunt. So that's really unfortunate, and I don't think he needs to put out a statement saying he's not going to attend. He just doesn't need to show up, but that's really unfortunate that the company is, you know, hurting his chances in a way.
Now, let's spin it to the other side of this argument. Maybe it's the same side with just a different company. A lot of folks, including some NFL players, current NFL players, are saying that a big factor in the reason that Michael Sam went unsigned is because of...
he was funky.
It does have to go towards showering, and that's that ESPN nonsense we talked about last week, where no fault of his own, he got dragged into this quote-unquote controversy that ESPN manufactured, and teams are like, we don't need that crap, man. We don't want this to be an ongoing issue with our team. And, you know, what do you think ESPN's role in this is, in terms of, you know, what part did they play in this kid not getting signed?
I think they played a role, but I think in general the media played a role from the jump. I mean, the fact that we paid so much attention to a seventh-round draft pick. And even though Manziel ended up getting more attention during training camp than Michael Sam, he still got way more than he was, you know, way more than he deserved. And he was sort of, you know, doing fine until that last week in the ESPN report with Josina Anderson about his showering habits. And I'm sure that was probably not a factor for the Rams, because I think they were pretty much dead set on the guys they already had. But for other teams, I think that was sort of like, okay, he's still too polarizing, too hot at the moment, and at the end of the day, he's still a seventh-round draft pick, so is it worth claiming the style off waivers and then having the media attention now shift from St. Louis to my team and dealing with all that? So, yeah, I think that was also a factor, and the timing is really... So that the WWE stuff, really unfortunate, because it was just the last week of training camp, right before cut day, and then all the story came out about, you know, him showering, not showering, and it sort of blew up. So yeah.
Yeah, and real quick on Jeff Fisher, you know, I understand you upset with the report, but I took offense to him blasting Josina Anderson, because it's like, you know, she is, what's the old saying, don't shoot the messenger? Like, I'm sure she didn't pitch the story to ESPN.
Well, she did put out a statement that really didn't say much. It sort of danced around if she was, like, actually involved, or if this was her idea, or if she was, you know, told by her producers to do the story. So But they put her out there, so it made it seem like she was had a role in the story.
Right.
Otherwise, she wouldn't have put out a statement. So, yeah.
But the craziest thing about this to me is, in a way, this kind of validates and maybe goes as far as vindicates what Tony Dungy said when he caught all that flack. Because what we're seeing with that ESPN story, with the WWE nonsense, with this story of a 7th-round draft pick getting cut was on NBC Nightly News over the weekend. You know what I mean? What Tony Dungy said, this is not Michael Sam, but what comes around Michael Sam, what comes with Michael Sam can be seen as a distraction and off-putting to some teams. And you might not have liked what he said, but it seems to be coming to fruition.
Yeah, and nobody would give Tony Dungy credit for that because I think they still associate Tony Dungy with his religion and then religion with homophobia and with him, having a personal thing against Michael Sam, which I don't think is the case at all.
Right. And you can be like socially wrong, but still be right. And I think that's what Tony Dungy, he fell on the wrong side of kind of the social feelings of the day. But at the end of the day, he was an NFL coach. He knows these locker rooms. He knows these owners. And he was right.
Yeah, he was right. And I'm glad that story sort of fell off pretty quickly after it happened because he was put in a tough spot where he was doing an interview that wasn't even related to Michael Sam, and somehow the topic came up, and that quote was sort of taken out of the bigger story that he was working on, or that he was featured in. So, I don't, with Sunday Night Football starting up this week, I don't think the story will bubble up now, but I'm glad that if there's one guy who deserves a pass, it'd be Tony Dungy.
Yeah, just look at the body of his work.
Yeah.
But what time it is, Marcus? As I slip on my blazer, it's time to play our favorite game, a game that we seem to be playing more and more frequently on this show, Bully, Gay, or Wimp. Which one of these men will be in the NFL in 2 weeks? Michael Sam, Richie Incognito, or Jonathan Martin?
I think Jonathan Martin made the team. Let me double check. Just might end the game real quick here.
Will the Wimp win?
He wins. Winner.
Oh. winner. Tofu dinner, because I'm sure that's what he eats.
It pays to be a wimp, people.
Well, they said the meek shall inherit the earth and the wimpy shall inherit a job.
Yeah. We made the 53 for San Francisco. Oh, speaking of the Niners, we need to discuss that. I genuinely forgot a story that happened this week. The whole Roger Goodell manifesto. And then 3 days later, Ray McDonald arrested for domestic violence.
Yeah.
He, 3 days. That's all it took? 3 days for someone to get caught up on this? And of all the teams, the one team that's had the most trouble this offseason, the 49ers. Yay. What did you think about that?
Like, my man, I don't know if my man had bad internet access or if he didn't get a memo. But it's like, what was it, Sunday morning when it went down?
Yeah.
It's like 2 days after Goodell put out this new policy. And it's like, man, why do you want to be, like, you never want to be the face of a policy. Like, you never want to be the guy that gets, the first guy who got set up for a crack time, which was, a stiffer penalty than powder cocaine. Or you never want to be the first guy that got busted for texting and driving. Like, you never want to be the first guy that the public can identify as, okay, that's the guy that got the stiff penalty, that was newly enacted. And it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't know if there's ever a good time for domestic violence, but this probably was the worst time for domestic violence.
And on top of that, she's 10 weeks pregnant, Ray McDonald's fiance. That means he's in line for a stiffer penalty than the 6 games that has been tossed out there. So, and funny enough, This incident took place on the same street as the Alden Smith DUI. So,
stay the hell off of that street.
If you're 49ers, stay the hell out of San Jose. bad things happen.
Set your GPS up. Like, no, we don't go there.
Yeah.
Like, what was that scene in The Lion King where Simba's like, what's over there in that dark part of the valley? Like, Jim Harbaugh's like, oh, we don't go there.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is, it's not just Goodell, but it's also, you know, this is something that Harbaugh is also pretty strict on because Dante Whitner, I guess, came out a couple years ago and he's like, coach is like, you know, we can do anything in the world and we can come talk to him like a man and we'll work it out. But if we put our hands on a woman, you know, coach cuts you off. And it's like coupled with that, with Harbaugh's feelings and also Goodell's new policy, it's like this is the one team where you would think that something like this wouldn't happen.
Yeah, and I mean, innocent until proven guilty, and he's due back in court later this month. But if you're Jim Harbaugh, I'm surprised he didn't just cut him on the spot just to prove a point.
Yeah.
Just to say, like, whether you're guilty or not, you still got arrested, and this woman still has bruises, and you're still making not only the 49ers look bad, but the NFL look bad, and the commissioner look bad. So just to prove a point, you know, we're going to touch you. But he's still on the team, and he's still going to play week one. So, yeah.
I know somebody's out there, like, yelling at their iPod or their computer or their Zoom. Shout out to Dennis Black and Asian. You know, this dude, at least for this week, still has a job, and Michael Sam is on the unemployment line. But, you know, do you see? Because I think Ray, like you said, if Harbaugh didn't cut him, immediately after, I don't think he's long for the 49ers. I think it's just a matter of time before, you know, he's got his ticket punched out of San Francisco.
Well, they kept Alden Smith despite his
yeah, they did.
His fun offseason and now 9-game suspension. So, but Alden Smith's a lot better than Ray McDonald. So, I don't know. I think we won't probably get a decision this season with him. And at that point, they'll probably cut him loose, and then he'll be not only a free agent, but have the suspension looming as well. So that's the NFL way. You know, use these guys to your advantage, and then when they're no good to you, cut them. So.
Yep. So, let's see. We got Jonathan Martin in. Michael Sam out, Richie Incognito
out
for the moment, but I think Richie Incognito will be back before Michael Sam.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. I know Michael Sam's rights are owned by Montreal and the Canadian Football League, so that is also an option.
That's interesting. Like, if you're Michael Sam, do you go to the Canadian Football League where you maybe have a better chance of starting, or would you rather be on a practice squad in the NFL?
At this point, I would say the practice squad, only because the CFL season's already more than halfway over, I believe.
Yeah.
So they're sort of winding down at this point, and I'm not sure if he went to Montreal, if he could get playing time right away, or if he would sort of have to learn the system or all that stuff. So if both seasons were starting this week, I would say the CFL for sure, but you know, their season is already in progress, so I would say try to get on a practice squad and hope for an injury and get on that way.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like if this was the beginning of the season, I think I'd go with the CFL too, just because you'd probably have a better chance of getting on the field, and also the attitudes towards, you know, gay people in Canada is a little bit more lenient than it is down here, or more accepting, I should say, than it is down here in the States, you know, including gay marriage and things of that nature. So, you know, it'd probably culturally be a better fit for him. But like you said, they're already halfway through the season. So, you know, by the time he gets up there, gets situated, learns the playbook, you know, you're at the end of the season.
Yeah. So it's it's unfortunate. I'm pulling for the guy, but I just don't see it happening this season.
Somewhere Kerry Rose is like, y'all niggas didn't pull for me. Who's looking out for Kerry?
Wow, I forgot about Kerry Rhodes.
What about me? What about Raven?
Yeah.
Like, that's, I think that's the most damning piece of evidence against Michael Sam's case. Is that Kerry Rhodes still hadn't, you know, found his way back into the league, whereas, you know, he was not a marginal player.
No.
You know?
And, yeah, he couldn't just sniff after that story came out. And I wonder what he's up to now.
That's it. Like, I'm looking at his wiki right now, his Wikipedia page, and, like, it stops with him getting cut. And the interview with ESPN that he denied that he was gay and denied that he was blacklisted. But, yeah, you haven't heard anything from Kerry Rhodes.
Yeah, maybe that's a story that should be done. Sort of catching up with Kerry Rhodes and
like Hollywood Simpson Ethan him.
Yeah.
Maybe literally and figuratively.
Oh.
Don't worry about this here napkin, Kerry. Oh man.
He's still on Twitter.
Kerry Rhodes?
Yeah.
What's his last tweet? Like, is he talking about the Michael Sam thing?
Well, this tweet isn't gonna help his image. Caught myself taking a selfie. Hashtag the shame. Hashtag it's Labor Day weekend, so it's cool. Hashtag carry on. So. Oh. It's a photo of him in a bathroom taking a selfie.
Playing Who Let the Dogs Out. So romantic.
Oh, boy.
Poor Kerry. Poor Kerry.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, so. My favorite on this timeline is a retweet from a woman who tweeted him and said, "You are sexy." just, I guess, to prove that, you know.
Like, see?
Yeah.
See?
The woman is not cheap, by the way, so I wouldn't use that as an endorsement for anything, but
that's not a woman, that's a man, baby.
Yeah, his Twitter's interesting. I'm trying to find if there's anything else that would lead you to believe that.
Remember, were you ever aware, I think we had to be doing the show at the time, but for some reason, it must have slipped under the cracks. Remember when Aaron Rodgers' personal assistant made all those cryptic tweets?
No, I remember that story.
Oh, it was, I forget his name, but it was let me see, let me Google it right quick. But keep going about Kerry Rhodes, and I'll check this out.
Let's see here.
Because it was almost like a Hollywood Simpson sort of situation.
Was he implying that he was gay?
Yes. Oh. Very. Not just that he was gay, but like that they had a relation. Kevin Lanfleecy, which is not the most strong name. Kevin Lanfleecy, this was, what was this? This was back in January, like December, January. It probably happened when we were on break, like when we did our best of show.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, they were roommates, and then he became his personal assistant, and then you know, he's tweeted like Kevin Lanfleecy, this guy tweeted concert tickets of them going to see Justin Bieber together. Then he tweeted a picture of him and Aaron Rodgers on the beach, like, I know the truth. I've seen it. There's no guilt, no shame. I'm bought, owned. I'm his. I'm free. Hmm. And then Aaron Rodgers was like, hey, dog, I'm gonna need you to bounce. So he fired him, and then he went on this tirade on Twitter, like, with all these hurt feelings. And then I guess Aaron Rodgers, somebody in his camp got back to him, and he deleted them. So, but yeah, it was like, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often, not just with male assistants, but also, like, if you got a female assistant and you fire her, like, she probably knows a lot about your dirt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm surprised that it doesn't happen more often where things like that get nasty.
So I found a Men's Journal story on Carey. He moved to Los Angeles, and he's now...
Oh, so he's in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. He has a production company, I guess. So he's in, well,
He's in the movie business.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe he'll... in the Antoine Walker documentary. I think that was about him losing all his money.
I was going to say it about the athletes going broke.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh. Yeah, that's good. Like, yeah, maybe you should try to holler at him, see what he's up to. He's out in L.A. Just tell him to stay out of Hollywood.
Well, speaking of Hollywood...
Yes.
This is a theme in this interview.
You've got my interest, Marcus.
So they asked, why does it feel ridiculous that people were calling you Hollywood? And basically, I think this was goes back to his NFL days.
Right.
And he goes, the funniest thing about that for me is I'm such a chill guy. For that to be my headline was hilarious. I wasn't doing anything flashy at all. I just was open to opportunities that aligned with what I was interested in off the field. I was in that Lady Gaga video. I've done a lot of little things like that. It didn't bother me at all. I was performing out there and one of the best players in the league at my time. It bothered me that people knew me. What's he doing in Gaga videos?
I didn't know he was in the Lady Gaga video.
Yeah.
Huh. Which one? Do you know which one it was?
No.
Huh.
And then eventually he goes on, they ask him about if he's missing football. He says, I'm not missing football at the moment. I've been busy with this. Last year I'd watched some of the games and think that I could still play on that level. I haven't missed it yet, though. I've talked to a few of my old teammates. I hung out with Patrick Willis not too long ago. Rashad Johnson, who I played with out there in Arizona. They hit me up whenever they're in town and asked me to take them out. As you can imagine, eventually they all come to California. So, interesting.
Apparently, he was. They're saying he was in paparazzi, but I don't remember that at all.
So there's your Carey Rhodes update, people.
The one thing I will say, going back to our Hollywood Simpson interview from last year, which if you haven't heard, you should head to the archives and check out. The one thing I will kind of give him credence for, which rings true to me, is I think if Carey really was gay and he said he was gay, I think there'd be less resistance than if he was gay and he was closeted, if that makes any sense. Because there's a certain ballsiness, no pun intended, to what Michael Sam did.
He was out there, and no questions. He knew where he stood.
Like you gonna take me or leave me? But this is who I am. Whereas with Carey, if he is gay, I don't know either way. But if he is gay and he's hiding, and guys know that, you know, that could create friction. Whereas if Carey's like, hey, I'm gay, dog, you know, accept it or not, that's more of a quote unquote man thing to do, I guess.
Yeah, I could see that.
And football players, like, if we know nothing else, like, they respect macho moves, you know, which is why I think Michael Sam, it surprises me. I would think Michael Sam would be more accepted in a locker room than Jonathan Martin, because a lot of their criticisms of Jonathan Martin was that, you know, he was a punk.
Yeah.
So it's very, very interesting. Like, I'd love to see somebody, you know, some psychologist or psychiatrist just spend time in an NFL locker room and break down the dynamics. Or just bring playmakers back. Because to me, playmakers was the best.
Oh, man. Did they ever do a game on playmakers? No, right?
Did they ever do a gay angle?
Yeah.
Yes. You don't remember? The star wide receiver was gay.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. And the, because the, I think it was a wide receiver, because the wide receiver was gay. The starting running back, which is Omar Gooding, was a crackhead. The backup running back with the old dude was on steroids. There was a racist on the team. Like, everybody, like, this, like they had a terrible draft. Like, who's paying attention to the character issues on this team? Because everybody on the team had an issue. One of the dudes was, like, sleeping with the reporter. Playmakers was a great show.
Oh, ahead of their time.
and the NFL made it go away.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? This isn't a good look for us because some of this stuff is actually pretty close to home.
Yeah.
I think they even had, like, the fake Michael Vick guy, like, that was involved with dogfighting or something like that. Like, it was crazy. So, yeah, go look up Playmakers. Go look up the Hollywood Simpson interview from last year. And, you know, that should keep you busy for the rest of the week.
Yeah.
So, that's it for the A Block for segment one. We're going to come back and talk more football because that's what we do here this time of year. So, stick and stay. More Kings of Sport right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
It's time to talk about the sport of kings with the Kings of Sport. It's your pigskin preview, your gridiron gab fest, and your weekly football focus. It's time for Second Down on the Kings of Sport.
It's the sport of kings, better than nodding rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow.
We are back on the Kings of Sport, Marcus and Nate holding things down. And if you're hearing that music, it can only mean one thing. We are going to talk about football here in segment two. And I think for the remainder of the collegiate and professional football seasons, this will probably be our little catch-all spot where we talk about, you know, the standings, talk about some of the stories, maybe have a couple guests in here to talk some football, and this will be just, you know, your go-to location for football news and opinions here on the Kings of Sport in segment two.
Second down.
I see what you did there, Marcus. Yeah. Second and long.
Oh, that's for segment four.
Yeah, stay tuned, people. But we are minutes. I was going to say minutes away, but it's already happened. So we're minutes after, in the moments after. There you go. The latest poll has been released for college football. We talked about the preseason poll last week and previewed some of the teams. Unfortunately for one of the Kings, one of their picks may be in danger.
in terms of an SEC champion. But it's early.
Listen, I got faith in the Gamecocks to upset Georgia in 2 weeks and then go about their business for the rest of the year.
Well, speaking of those Bulldogs, like I said, we have the new poll out. And this is a reputable poll. This is the AP and the coaches poll and not the Athlon poll, even though there's nothing wrong with the Athlon poll. They do good work. But let's go through the top 10 real quick. Number one, still Florida State. Number two, you got Alabama. Number three, Oregon. Number four, Oklahoma. Number five, Auburn. Number six, the aforementioned Georgia Bulldogs, receiving two first-place votes. Number seven, Michigan State. Number eight, Ohio State. Number nine, Texas A&M. And number 10, Baylor. So any surprises in that first grouping, Marcus?
No, I mean, the big story was Texas A&M and how well they played against South Carolina on Thursday night, thanks to Kenny Hill, who demolished Johnny Manziel's passing record in his first collegiate start. So no one really expected A&M to make that jump from 21-9. And yeah, the rest of the top 10, there's really no upsets, which was kind of rare for the first weekend. Everyone, there were some scares. Florida State had a scare in the third quarter against Oklahoma State. And there's another game. Ohio State struggled against Navy briefly in the first half. So besides that, it was pretty much what you would expect from week one.
Yeah, the A&M game, probably the only outlier. You know, I thought they had a shot to win, but not 52-28.
Yeah, that was not in South Carolina. I mean, that was rough.
So, you know, the old ball coach has got to go back to the drawing board. You mentioned Ohio State. I think they've got an interesting matchup coming up this week with Virginia Tech, who is known to underachieve. But when you've got an Ohio State team still figuring out that quarterback position, that could be a trap game for the Buckeyes.
They're also known to scheduling cupcakes, so they're not used to playing real teams this early. They're not gonna beat Ohio State.
Hey, they had a very tough game against William and Mary, and they destroyed
them this week. Bill and Mary, that was their opener.
It was a rivalry game, Marcus. It was a rivalry game.
Are they even? They're not even 1A. They're 1 or 1AA or whatever they're called now. The FBS,
subdivision.
FBS, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so let's head to the next 10, and that is, I guess we can call that the Pac-12 bracket because they have the most predominant teams. Starting with number 11, UCLA. Number 12 is LSU. Number 13, Stanford. Number 14, Marcus's embattled USC Trojans, who we'll have to talk about them here in a second. Number 15, Ole Miss. Number 16, Notre Dame. And number 17, the Arizona State Sun Devils. 18, Wisconsin. 19, Nebraska. And at number 20, Kansas State University.
What about them Trojans?
We thought it was bad enough last week with the Josh Shaw story. Then what was it? A couple days later, the Sarkisians are racist story breaks.
Yeah.
What do you make of your program, man?
Who cares about the off the field stuff? Did you see what they did on the field?
Well, I mean, I was much more interested in the racist stuff, you know.
Nah. let's start 701 yards on the field.
I mean, who cares about 52-13 over Fresno State when your head coach may be a racist? That's the story, Marcus.
He's not a racist. He's just mad he wasn't getting playing time. So,
which is funny though, because like the USC team is not, you know, they're not. They're not bringing out, you know, the all-white all-stars from the 50s.
No.
So it's not like, you know, he didn't play me because I was black. We're like, okay, listen, what about the guy starting ahead of you?
Listen, they started a guy named Juju at wide receiver. This is we love everyone at USC. As long as you didn't play, you're good. You're starting Juju, man. Juju.
The Trojans... I mean, Fresno State wasn't the stiffest of competitions, but it was a good start. And I think there's something to be said for starting your season out with a statement like that, especially considering, like you mentioned, the circus of nonsense off the field that surrounded the team in the weeks leading up to the game.
Yeah, the takeaway from that game was the new offense that Sark is running at USC. For a few years now with Lane Kiffin, they ran a conservative pro-style offense, which you'll see at Alabama this season. And that is long gone. They set a record for 701 total yards. And they also set a record for most plays run in USC's history in a game. I think they ran over 100 plays in that game against Fresno State. So they're really pushing the up-tempo offense, and they face a solid test this weekend against Stanford.
Yeah, that should be a very interesting game. You know, you got two, I was going to say two top 25, but two top...
top 15, yeah.
Yeah. Number 13 and number 14 going head-to-head.
Yeah.
So that should be an interesting matchup. Let's finish out, round out the top 25, if you will, with South Carolina at number 21. Go Marcus. North Carolina at number 22. Clemson, I guess this is the Carolina bracket. Clemson at number 23. Missouri at number 24. And Louisville rounding out your AP top 25 at number 25. Do you still, I know last week we talked about Ohio State is a team that we could see falling out. South Carolina, you know, we saw them take a bit of a topple. As this thing shakes out, are there any teams that we mentioned that you think have the potential to be dark horses as we head towards the middle part of the season? Or do you think that, like, because for me, I'm looking at Notre Dame pretty hard. Like, I think Notre Dame is a team where if the schedule works out for them, they got a big game against Michigan this week. If Notre Dame can pull off some wins, they're a team that we know the press loves.
Mm-hmm.
And Notre Dame is a team that I think could sneak into the mix, you know, in the top, you know, 4 to 7 teams and be have an outside shot at that playoff spot.
Their schedule is kind of tough after they get through Purdue and Syracuse, which they should both win. They host Stanford, they host North Carolina, and they go at Florida State, back to back to back, all three in the top 25. And then they get a week off, well, not a week off, but they play Navy, and then they go at Arizona State. So they have a tough schedule there. If they can somehow win against Stanford and North Carolina, and they put up a decent fight against Florida State, maybe, but I don't know. I'm not buying Notre Dame yet.
If at the end of the year they only have one loss and it is to Florida State, and let's say the game is competitive, I think they got an outside shot.
Yeah, they do, but I'm not buying it. Golson's back at quarterback, but you know,
so you're not sold on the Irish yet?
Not yet.
No, don't have Brian Kelly call up the show and cuss you out, Marcus.
He wouldn't do such a thing.
You don't know the Brian Kelly. I know. Let's see. So, spinning forward to next week's matchups, you know, we talked about Ohio State and Virginia Tech. That's a game I'm interested in. You got Notre Dame, Michigan. What are one or two games that you're kind of focusing on in week two of the college season?
Well, the big game next week is Michigan State, Oregon at Eugene. This will be a true battle of offensive defense because Michigan State has always been known for a great defense, and Oregon's offense has always been near the top of college football every season. So Oregon's a 12-point favorite. I think that's a bit high considering Michigan State is a team that you generally don't see get blown out. But I think that's the big game. You got two top 10 teams next week, in addition to USC Stanford. So those are the two big games that I'm going to focus on.
And Oregon blew out the South Dakota Coyotes, the mighty Coyotes, 62-13.
Oof.
Like, I hope the payday was worth it, South Dakota.
Yeah, speaking of paydays, did you see the Florida-Idaho game that got canceled?
No, what was going on with that?
So it was Idaho took the body bag trip to Florida.
The mighty Vandals.
They had some rain and lightning in the area. They started the game. 10 seconds into the game, they had to stop the game because of more lightning in the area. and the game was eventually called off, and there's a chance that they might not even play the game. They both share a same bye day in October, but they haven't made a decision yet whether Idaho's going to make the trip back to Gainesville to get that game in.
So do they get the money? Has the check already been cashed?
Yeah, I'm sure they get the money either way. And on top of that, Florida had a bunch of guys suspended for that season opener. And according to the school, that counts as a game for them. So they're going to be back playing next week despite a game not actually happening. So college football, everyone.
Yeah, if I'm Idaho, I don't see the incentive. I don't see the incentive if you already got the money.
I'm assuming they have the money because that's not fair to them. They can't control the weather. They made the trip out there.
It's like, hey, you guys should come back and play us and get beat up. No, man,
we're good.
We already got that money.
Yeah,
that's what you get for trusting the Vandals, baby. It's in the name, which is a great, like, one of the most underrated college football mascot names. Like, I don't know the history. The etymology, the Idaho Vandals nickname is probably something boring, like somebody in town. But that's just a great, like, we're the Vandals. Like, one of those names that shouldn't still be around in this politically correct era.
And on top of that, they play in the Kibbe Dome.
There's got to be somebody out there that covers Idaho football. Like, if we get too low on football information, we'll have to send a call out to Idaho. Or we could make a call to China.
There you go.
Because nothing's going on out in China.
Nope.
Yeah, that's our football focus this week. Second down. I'm gonna have to think of a better name, Marcus. No disrespect. I mean, I know you edit stuff for a living, but I'm not feeling that.
All right, it's fine.
Thanks, but no thanks.
All right. Let's see how it is.
Hey, at least I'm not sending out pictures from your iPhone, putting you on blast like that.
That's true.
So, but we will talk about some folks who are on blast, and they're not too happy about it. Coming up in segment 4, the Kings of Sport rolls on right after this. Listen up, everybody, if you want to take a chance, just get on the floor and do the New Kids Dance. Don't worry about nothing, because it won't take long. We're going to put you in a trance with a funky song.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do, too. My name's Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to end things off the way we do each and every episode, and that is with the often imitated but never ever duplicated segment four. If you're new to the program, segment four is the portion of the program where we kind of throw all the ratchetness and all the foolishness and nonsense from the week in the world of sports and pop culture into one big bag, into one big pot, and make a big pot of ratchet gumbo and serve it to you. And this week, we got some interesting stories to talk about, Marcus. You know, there's no shortage of ratchetness in this world. And there's also no shortage of celebrity news, especially when there is a scandal, quote unquote.
There's also no shortage of breasts on the internet this week, because there are a lot of celebrity breasts floating around. So over the weekend, a hacker was able to hack into Apple's iCloud and was starting to release photos from celebrities, including a bunch of nude photos from a wide variety of celebrities, mostly white, because I don't know if that says what that says about black girls. But actually, I saw Kiki Palmer on the list, which was odd. Because isn't she like 12?
Isn't that Akilah in the video?
Yeah. Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, like who's trying to look up dirty pictures of Akilah in the B, man?
Oh, she's 21 now. Wow.
Oh, I stand corrected.
Yeah. I guess Akilah and her bees are out there somewhere on the internet for you to find. But yeah, she was on the list. Kate Upton was on the list. And not only Kate Upton, you got Justin Verlander. And I guess it's a fair trade-off. If you don't get Kate Upton, you can take a little male ass, because Deadspin had a photo of Kate Upton and Justin Verlander taking a nude selfie, and you got Butlander as a result, along with Kate Upton. So, but a lot of the celebrities have actually come out and said, "Hey, these photos are actually of me," and they're threatening lawsuits. And others have come out and said, "These are all fake, and you know, nothing to see." So. Lesson learned here, folks. Don't take nude photos and keep them on your iPhone or the iCloud, especially the iCloud. I mean, why would you? Your iPhone's different. You can at least sort of hold that. And then if you lose it, that's on you. But if you put it on the iCloud, it's fair game now, essentially.
Yeah, didn't they just have that stupid movie where Cameron Diaz and the other guy had a sex tape on the cloud?
Oh, the sex tape movie. Yeah.
Like, did nobody, I guess nobody saw it, so that's probably why they didn't learn the lesson from the movie.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you can't, this is new technology, and the hackers are always going to be one step ahead of the people policing the hackers in a situation like this.
Yeah, and I do feel bad, because, you know, if these photos can get out, that, you know, what's stopping a hacker from releasing stuff from my iCloud? But
yeah. Is this something you should be telling us, Marcus, just in case?
Nah, I did nothing on my iPhone that is not family friendly.
I was trying to come up with a joke, but it's full disclosure. It's like 11 o'clock, and I just woke up a couple hours ago. So yeah, had breakfast at Walmart. But getting back to this story, like, well, the thing that made me laugh the most was, you know, the reaction from the celebrities. Like you said, some people owned up to it. Some people, like Ariana Grande, was like, "These are fake," which is like, come on. I see you. That's you in the picture right there. How are you going to tell me it's fake? Then you had some celebrities that were shaming the people that were looking at the pictures. Like, "I hope you enjoy looking at my personal pictures." And it's like, yeah, I kind of do. Because that's what we do here in America. That's why, you know,
National Enquirer is still around, and Us Magazine is still a thing, like, because people enjoy looking at celebrities in candid moments. It's like, you know, you're trying to shame people for looking. Like, if you tell me, like, I'm not going to actively look for your stuff, but if you tell me, hey, Nate, let's just throw out some random celebrity. Jessica Alba got naked pictures on the internet. You want to see them? Why? Yes, I think I do. Like that. Don't get mad at me for looking at your naked pictures that you put in the cloud.
And I thought for sure of the people on the list that Kate Upton would be the coolest about it, but now she released a statement through her attorney basically saying that, as she should, it's a privacy issue, and they're going to pursue legal action if they can find the guy who's releasing this stuff. But she's done stuff topless already, like professional stuff, but never, you know, stuff for her phone. So, yeah, if you're the dude behind this, you better run. Because they found the guy who released the photos of Scarlett Johansson and my former middle school classmate, Mila Kunis. So, shout out to the unicorns. It's been a while since we mentioned the unicorns, but we produced Mila Kunis at least for a little bit. Till she left.
So, yeah, I think it's funny. Like, you know, kind of part and parcel with this issue, I know some of the wrestling heads out there may have seen it, with CM Punk got so upset about somebody. Was it a tweet or was it the Instagram or something like that?
He put out a tweet basically saying, yeah.
I guess a private photo of him and AJ, and Punk is like, I'm going to block you, and this is invading my privacy. And like, come on, man, calm down. Like, I understand that you know, there are some things that should be private, but as a public figure, it's part of the bargain that you make.
Yeah, I'll act that way when my wedding photos come out. I'll flip out whoever tweets out photos from my wedding. So
basically, you're gonna be at Big Nasty. Stop tweeting my pictures, man.
Yeah, we'll squash that. That's what Dabio and Dwayne Wade had you had to sign a contract, basically saying what happens at the wedding stays at the wedding, and let's keep it off social media.
See, I think what I'm gonna do though, I'm not gonna send out pictures, but I am gonna write a musical about your wedding, and that way you can't sue me because it's my own creative property.
It's a parody.
Parody, I can get away with it.
Yeah.
Oh, but speaking of musical theater, Marcus, you ever been to China?
Never been to China. Been to Chinatown.
Yeah, I was gonna say, maybe they'll have to play like an off-Broadway thing coming here pretty soon. But there is an incentive for you to go to China now, Marcus.
What's that?
Stephen Marbury in a play, a musical about his life, starring Stephen Marbury.
Starberry. Of course, of course it's going to star Marbury. Who else to play crazy?
this is going to be very interesting. I saw the story, I guess it was on TMZ a week or so ago, maybe a little bit before that, and then Black Sports Online picked up the story. Stephen Marbury in his adopted hometown of Beijing, where he's already got a champion Chinese Basketball League and a statue in Beijing. He's going to be starring in a musical about his life.
Is his life really worthy of a musical?
I think it could be.
No.
I mean, to the Chinese, I mean, they obviously love Starberg.
That just means crazy doesn't translate into Chinese, because one basketball title in a Chinese league shouldn't get you a musical in that country.
All right, here we go. The production is going to be called I Was Marbury, which is kind of a dark title. Like, who is he now? At the end, does he like turn into a Chinese man and that's his real self? Yeah, it's going to be called I Was Marbury.
and tickets are on sale now, and the play is going to cover Marbury's life during the 2011-2012 Beijing Ducks season.
Was that also the season where he had the Vaseline videos?
I believe so.
In that case, I'm in. We can reenact that.
The main thing, the director, Zhu Wenong, and I'm sure I butchered that, says the main theme of the movie, the play, is to never give up, as witness when Stefan led the team to a victory over Aaron Brooks and the Guangdong Tigers. Hmm. Guangdong Tigers are a tough squad.
Well, when Aaron Brooks is leading your team. Let's see, who's on this team now?
The Beijing Ducks. I wonder if Disney's got a stake in that team.
Current guys. Wow, no one I know on this Ducks team.
Other than Marbury?
No, I was talking about the Ducks. I have to check the... I'm sorry, I'm looking at the Tigers first.
Oh, the Guangdong Tigers? Yeah. Aaron Brooks isn't on there anymore?
No, Aaron Brooks is back in the NBA. Floating around. Oh, actually. So, the Ducks feature Emmanuel, I'm going to butcher his last name, Moutier, who was the player who was supposed to play college basketball this season with Larry Brown at SMU and decided to go over to China to get paid. So,
oh, yeah. Huh.
Also features Roy Ivy, a former NBA.
Wow. they got all the stars.
And Ying Jilin. Remember Clippers and Washington and...
Yeah.
So they had some...
They got a dream team.
Yeah, you got this 18-year-old kid from high school, point guard. Roy Ivy running the wing. That'd be good.
They got it. Sun Yu's on the team, too.
Oh, man. I remember when he was on the Lakers.
They got an all-star squad.
Wow.
That is a powerhouse, the Beijing Ducks.
All right, the Ducks. Oh, no, the Ducks have Sun Yu.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Ducks got Sun Yu.
Yeah, I was talking about the other team.
Oh, you're talking about the Guangdong Tigers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Ducks have Sun Yu, Damian Wilkins, the great Damian Wilkins. They got Stephon Marbury, of course. Let's see, anybody else?
Randolph Morris.
Yeah, Randolph Morris. But yeah, Sun Yu and Marbury. That's the 1-2 punch right there.
What a backcourt.
Greatest backcourt. And I wonder if, like, kids growing up now, like, do they look at Stephon Marbury like kids in the 80s and 90s looked at Magic and Michael?
You mean kids in China? Like
if you're a 15-year-old Chinese kid.
No, just the Chinese.
Stephon Marbury.
No, they did NBA. They watch. They know what the good stuff is and what is the second-rate stuff.
Like, I mean, they got a statue of this guy in Beijing. I'm most intrigued about, like, the songs. Like, because that's, you know, the make or break for any musical. Like, that's what really gets you in there. Like, you know, Frozen had Let It Go. The Wiz had Ease On Down the Road. Like, the Stephon Marbury musical is going to be like, life is hard for a pass first point guard, but life is hard if you don't shoot the ball. Steph, why is that tat on your face? I don't know. I just feel out of place. I gotta go to China. Like, whoa, nigga, this is real.
And it's choreographed dance too. He's gonna do some dance moves as well.
I put out some shoes. Nobody bought them. Oh, that's why I'm here in China.
Man, he took down Dave and Barry, or Steve, was it Stephen Barry?
Stephen Barry, yeah. Those Starbursts.
I blame him.
For $20. You know, there'll be like the big climactic scene where his longtime arch enemy comes into the room, like, KG, I really hate you. It's about time I got this off my chest. It's got to be like a feel good song, though, like a happy song to close it all out.
the championship scene.
Yeah,
when they win the title. Yeah.
Like, take a look, we beat Aaron Brooks and the Guangdong Tigers.
That rhymes. If we have any Chinese listeners out there, please, if you have time and the money,
go see this.
Please go see this, and we will have you on the show to do a review.
Yes.
We will wake up to your time. We will factor in the time difference and cater to you to get a review on this play.
Maybe we can send Wei Ting out there. He'll be our Chinese correspondent. Send him back home and have him check out Marbury. I was Marbury.
We should have Wei Ting on to discuss this.
You know, I want to see like the first, it's probably going to be like one of those typical sports movies where, like, at the beginning, there's the arc where Stefan is a fish out of water and he's arguing with his coach. And he's going to be like, it's not easy being Stefan in China, but basketball is a language of its own. And then Sun Yu will come out, because I'm sure Sun Yu's playing Sun Yu. Like, who else are you going to get to play Sun Yu?
Of course.
Unless like Jeremy Lin could play Sun Yu.
See, I wasn't gonna go there.
Is that racist?
It is racist. I wasn't gonna touch that.
Jeremy, come on in here and do a run for this play. Stephon Marbury, I kind of want to see this now. Like, I'm sure it's gonna be on DVD. I want to see that translation.
Oh yeah, we need a translation too. I wonder how much Chinese or Mandarin he knows.
I don't know. But he's been in China for a while. Like,
it's Stephon Marbury. The dude was eating Vaseline. Let's not assume anything with staff about.
Let's not assume knowledge. He's the man of the world.
Yeah,
he's a cultured man of the world. Maybe that'll be like the Vaseline will be in the play too. Like, he'll do a No Vaseline by Ice Cube. that'll be the show stopping number. With no Vaseline, just to match and a little bit of gasoline. I know we got some Chinese listeners. We have to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we have information to who's listening to the show from Podbean. So I think we do actually have 40% international.
Yeah, so what we'll do is, if Marcus said, if you're out there listening and you're in China, go see this, man. Like, we'll put you on the show and let you give your review of I Was Marbury.
Actually, any international listeners, shoot us an email. At Canada, you don't count. Canada, you're one of us in the States. So we appreciate you listening, but, you know, we want to hear from someone across the ocean. So drop us a line.
I wish I had friends in China, because I definitely would have submitted some songs for this. Like, I'm not the best songwriter, but for a Stephon Marbury musical, I think I'm qualified enough.
But you're thinking, like, I know you're singing American songs. That's not gonna fly in China.
I mean, they can translate it, you know. like the last song when he's triumphant and he's accepted who he really is, he could be like, I'm Stephon and I like myself. I am me and nobody else. Yes, we know that life isn't fair, but at least I'm not Sebastian Telfair.
Oh.
And scene.
Taking shots.
Shout out to Sebastian Telfair.
As his fellow Tony Island. resident.
So I think we're going to get out of here this week, Marcus, unless you got anything else.
No, I don't.
But, yeah, so I guess we'll – are we going to try to do some NFL talk later on in the week or do a little bonus episode for the people?
Yeah, we might get a bonus episode late Thursday, early Friday after the opening kickoff on Thursday night. So all NFL talk, no women's basketball talk.
We may talk about the lingerie football league, though.
Yeah, that's fine.
But yeah, so NFL season kicking off Thursday. We may have a little bonus episode for you this weekend. Other than that, we're going to get out of here. So, Marcus, let the people know where they can follow you and hit you up and give you their opinion on Stephon Marbury's musical.
You can follow me and hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill. And international listeners, I'm serious, hit me up. I'm curious to see where you're listening from.
And you can check me out at N8, MOZAIK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter as well. Follow both of us at Cospod, KOS_POD on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, where we are finding new and new members each and every week, and we appreciate you guys for checking out the show. Be sure to go back in the archives and listen to some of our great shows in the past, which will, you know, when we make references like Hollywood Simpson or make references to Big Nasty Alfred Cunningham, you will understand with the context of history what those references mean. And then Stitcher, iTunes, check all that good stuff out. If you're a litigious, that's not what that's not the word.
We don't want you listening for litigious.
If you're a political person, that's what I meant. If you're a political person and you believe in voting, go to podcastland.com and vote for us for the September podcast of the month. And that's about it. Oh, placetobenation.com. Placetobenation.com is down with the king, so get down with placetobenation.com. And if you are a wrestling fan, I will be on Pipe Bomb Radio this week talking to Kamala, the Ugandan giant.
That's my impression of the Kamala theme song.
So I'm sure there will be some belly slaps and racial snaps.
I see what you did there.
Hey, trying to do anything I can to promote this show that will be 3 days old by the time you listen to this podcast. But if you didn't get a chance to listen to it on Tuesday night, go and check them out, pipebombradio.com, and listen to some of the good shows. They do good work over there. I think we're supposed to be talking to Kevin Von Erich here in the future.
Okay.
Which should be, like for me, you know, world class is like that's my wheelhouse. So I'm interested in talking to Kevin Von Erich. So yeah, we got some good shows up there, good interviews. Mo and Oscar from Men on a Mission have a show on the network. Wow. So yeah, it's like I didn't even know they were still around.
Yeah.
It's very cool. So not Placement Nation, Pipe Bomb Radio for that. And that's gonna do it for us. I think next week we'll definitely get into some more football after the first week of the NFL. I'm sure we'll have more stuff to talk about in the curious case of Michael Sam, and I'm also positive there will be no shortage of ratchetness.
That is all true. And fantasy talk, probably.
And fantasy talk. So, yeah. I'm sure we'll have fantasy talk.
Yeah.
Because apparently I am the worst commissioner since Jack Tunney.
Yeah, well, we'll get into the next week. We'll save that for next week.
That's the tease. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the godfather, Nate Milton. Can we talk? I mean, can we really talk here? Because you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks.
What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. PlaceToBeNation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best and comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. I want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also our friend Dave at TWFnews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also check out PiledriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at rspwfaq.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in the pop culture world.